Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Today our talk is about the service ministry. We will take a reading from Acts chapter 6 verses 1 to 7. Sometime later, as the number of disciples kept growing, there was a quarrel between the Greek-speaking Jews and the native Jews. The Greek-speaking Jews claimed that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of funds. So the 12 apostles called the whole group of believers together and said, "It is not right for us to neglect the preaching of God's word in order to handle finances. So then, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will put them in charge of this matter. We ourselves then will give our full time to prayer and the work of preaching." The whole group was pleased with the apostles' proposal, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a Gentile from Antioch who had earlier been converted to Judaism. The group presented them to the apostles, who prayed and placed their hands on them. And so the word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem grew larger and larger, and a great number of priests accepted the faith. Praise the Lord. So what is service? Service ministry. So what is service? I refer to the Longman Dictionary of Contemporary English. And they have many definitions of service. Service can be defined in many different ways depending on what you are talking about. But I want us to look at those definitions that are in the context of our program. So there are two of them. And one of them is that service is something that ordinary people can be asked to do as a duty. Something ordinary people can be asked to do as a duty. And the second one is help that you give to someone. So these are the two definitions that I wanted to base our understanding of service on. So as we are discussing about something that ordinary people like you and me can be called to do. And we are being called to do it as a duty. It is a duty that we have to do. And we know that the doing of a duty comes with certain blessings. And the neglect of a duty comes with certain consequences. So we have to have this at the back of our minds as we discuss the service ministry. We should know that once it is a duty, we are obliged to do it. If we don't do it, there are consequences that we will experience because we have neglected our duty. And we know that, we should know that the service that we are offering in whatever form is a help that we are giving to other people, which God has called us to do. We remember the words in Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the responsibility of people who have received the Holy Spirit. That when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you become a witness. It is not that some people will become witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon any person who can now call himself or herself a believer, you become a witness. And you have to witness. It becomes a service for you to witness. It becomes a duty for you to witness. It becomes a responsibility for you to witness. So you cannot take the Holy Spirit. You cannot say that you have received the Holy Spirit and yet you refuse to witness. They don't go together. The presence of the Holy Spirit and the refusal to witness don't go together. You are not receiving the Holy Spirit for free or for nothing. It is free, but you are receiving it under a condition. You are receiving it under condition. And the condition is that once you receive the Holy Spirit, you will witness. And of course, Jesus knows that the work is not easy. He knows that the work is not easy. And that is why before he was arrested and killed, in John chapter 17, he made a prayer for us. He prayed for the disciples that God should give them the strength to continue to witness, that God should give them the strength to be united as one, that God should give them the strength to live in such a way that people will really see and know that he, the Father, who sent he, Jesus Christ, to earth here to proclaim him, to witness for him, is the same person who has sent this people out to witness for him. That was why he made that prayer. So that he is calling upon the Father to give us the strength to be able to carry out the service of witnessing. And so today you and I are also expected to make a prayer. And we are making the prayer to receive the fruits of the prayer that Jesus made. He made the prayer. And so the Father will indeed, he has indeed sent forth his power. He has indeed sent forth his graces, so that we can become witnesses. But it's also for us now to raise up our arms in prayer and receive the prayer, the effect of the prayer, the fruits of the prayer that Jesus made in John chapter 17. If we are able to do that, then we'll be able to serve as witnesses. And indeed, that is the responsibility that the Catholic Charismatic Renewal is playing. In fact, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal without witnessing is not Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Catholic Charismatic Renewal without witnessing is not Catholic Charismatic Renewal. That's why it is called Catholic. It is called Charismatic. It is called Renewal. The renewal is to witness to people to understand the purpose of God in their life, to submit themselves to God, so that God will use them as a source of blessing to others. There can't be renewal unless people are witnessed unto. People have to witness unto. And so, if we are members of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, then it is a call for every one of us to engage in the service of witnessing. Witnessing is not just by preaching, like I'm doing, like what the teaching ministry does. Witnessing is not just about opening your mouth and bringing out words to tell people. In fact, the greatest way we witness is with our lives. The teaching ministry tries to do it in a vocal way because people have to be told what they are supposed to do. But when I have told you what you are supposed to do, I'm expected to lead you in an example so that I said this is what I wanted to do. This is how I want you to do it. So I'm expected that when I tell you what you do, I should be able to do what? To set an example for you to know how you are supposed to implement what I have told you. And so there are many forms of witnessing. And indeed, all the ministries in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal are part of this witnessing. All the ministries in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal are engaged in the service ministry. They are all engaged in the service ministry. Whether it is the praise and worship ministry, it is the healing and deliverance ministry, it is the intercessory ministry, teaching ministry, children ministry, women ministry, youth ministry, all these ministries are service ministries. Each of them will render a service to a group of people. Just imagine that praise and worship didn't, ministry didn't exist. And we just come here and we start. Our Father who is in heaven, Hail Mary, full of grace, glory be to the Father. They say, somebody come and give the word of exhortation. Praise the Lord. I don't think many of us would have been sitting here today. But the praise and worship will lift up people's spirits and get us connected to God. And so without the praise and worship, it will be very, very difficult to implement the other services. So that is its place. So it's part of the witness. It gives people the ability to be able to witness. So you can't take it out of the service ministry. If it's the intercessory ministry, sometimes some of us will go home and we are sleeping. We are not thinking about this group. But the intercessory ministry is constantly praying for this group and praying for the ministries and praying for a lot of other activities. And without that intercession, the group will not be able to stand. Look at the healing and deliverance ministry. Imagine that we are all coming here. Some of us, a lot of us have had problems that through the intervention of the healing and deliverance ministry to unleash the power of God upon our lives, we have got our deliverance. We have been saved from the problems that were facing us. And so we have developed confidence in God. If that didn't exist and we're coming here, we will not be able to see the power of God at work. And so it will be very difficult for us to really believe that our God is a living God that we can really trust. But if one through the hands of the healing and deliverance ministry, we see the power of God at work, then it gives us the faith. And so all the other ministries also have their responsibility. Remember that one of the definitions is that it is a help that you are giving to someone. And they are service, they are help. Because all those people who participate in these ministries' activities, nobody pays them. Nobody pays them for these things. We do them out of our own will. We dedicate our own time and we do it because we want to help other people. So all these things are there. Praise the Lord. But then, like we heard in the reading, the apostles were the people who were doing all these things. They committed themselves to prayer. Then they committed themselves to praying, to preaching the word of God. And at the same time, they were also in charge of distributing the food and the money and the other things to help the people. And because they were so overloaded, they saw that they started neglecting some of the things. They were not able to serve everybody adequately. And so they said, let us choose some people and let them be in charge of that particular site. The physical and manual work of dealing with the food sharing, dealing with the money sharing, dealing with the organization within the community, let us give that responsibility to some people. Then we can have time to dedicate ourselves to praying and preaching the word of God. And of course, when you look at it, even though all these ministries that I have mentioned are all offering service and they are part of the service ministry, you realize that their roles are such that there are certain things that we still need another ministry to stand out, another group of people who can also offer certain things that all these ministries cannot carry out. And so that's why we then have another ministry called the service ministry. Otherwise, all the other ministries are also ministries of service. So without a service ministry, it will be very difficult to carry out some activities. It will be difficult for us to coordinate some of those activities. So that's why there is a need for another ministry called the service ministry. So what are some of the duties? In fact, the duties are not things that we can stand here and elaborate. I mean, we can't list all the duties of the service ministry here. There are things that are in the heart. When you see it and you think that's a duty for the service ministry, you will know. The Lord himself will prompt you. But I just want to list some of the duties so that we understand that the service ministry is also needed. It is very important. So one of them we see them always doing is the cleaning of the church before the prayer meeting. So if you look at it, today two masses took place here. And if you look at the place, the way it is clean, that if it wasn't, if it hadn't been cleaned this afternoon, it wouldn't be like this. It would have been full of a lot of sand. But some people came here before most of us came here. Of course, a lot of us come late. To clean this place and make it clean like this, and dust the benches for us to come and sit down. That is the work that they have been doing. Whenever we are having 3 days fasting and prayers outside the chapel, so at our home we come here, some people have programs here, and so we have to carry the benches into the yard there to have our program. This is a task that they are supposed to take up if they haven't. When we have it like that, they are supposed to be able to arrange the place for us. When we have a program like the lab meal that we normally have, they are supposed to be in charge. Now, I am not saying that they are the only people responsible. You see, let's imagine that maybe there are only 5 people in the service ministry. And on the day that we are supposed to have the lab meal, only those 5 people will come to and clean the whole of this place and take the benches out and everything. Then when we finish the program, then they will have to bring all the benches in and clean the whole place again. You realize that it will just be a very, very big and unnecessary burden on them. So as I said, all of us are part of the service. But the thing is that there are certain things that they can do alone. But then they are supposed to be at the forefront. They are supposed to always have this in their mind. They are always supposed to be inclined to the organizational aspect of our programs. And so they can call upon any of us at any moment to come and help them. So they can come here and say, all right, we want the youth ministry to help us to do this. We want the children ministry to help us to do this. We want the women ministry to help us to do this. Or we want this number of volunteers. We want to do this. Come and help us to do it. When we have the cleaning of the church and the renewal is given a place, it's her portion, then it will be the responsibility of the service ministry to organize. Not for they alone to go and do it, but to organize the rest of us to go and do it. Like next week, we are going to have the catechetical week. And they are saying that there's a day when the renewal is supposed to clean the church and then I think take charge of the MC into. This is something that the service ministry is supposed to take up and probably organize the rest of us to come and do the cleaning. So when we have programs like retreat and outreach with a very vibrant service ministry, they can take charge of the organization of this program. As a service ministry, they can spearhead the planning of these programs. A lot of times, there are some months when the renewal is for the cleaning of the church. During that time, again, normally this is what we do, is that we apportion it to ministry. That is good. But what I'm saying is that the service ministry should spearhead that. So they are in charge. So when their plan is that, okay, let us apportion it to ministries to come and do it. That is part of their organizational responsibility. We will have to come and help them to do it. So but these are things they are supposed to what? To take charge of. Here when we come for the prayer meeting, the service ministry member can serve as ushers. Like we have the church committee. I think that thing had died off. Otherwise, I know in the early days of the renewal, there used to be ushers. So there will be people by all these doors to welcome people, and especially new people. So the ushers normally know almost everybody in the prayer group. So when a new person is coming, they are aware that that's a new person. They will give the person a special welcome. This is something that the service ministry of this group can take up. The service ministry can start to organize other activities, like say cleaner campaigns. They can say that, all right, maybe they have been going to the parish and they've seen that, oh, the parish environment is too dirty, it's too bushy, and nobody is doing anything about it. They come and say, okay, let's organize a cleaner campaign and go and clean our parish. So this is by no means an exhaustive list of all the things that the service ministry can engage in or should be spearheading. So you really see that the service ministry is not a ministry that is small, but there is a lot that the service ministry can do. Praise the Lord. They can do and should be doing. So, how do you know
if you should join the service ministry. Well, I don't think you should know. You should just join. Praise the Lord. You should just join the service ministry.
And I believe that if you are called to the service ministry, you will know. But I just want to bring out for a few points. If you are somebody who is a workaholic, you know, workaholic, you always feel like working. When you see work, you cannot go until you have done it. Of course, you're placed in the service ministry because there are places to work. And I mean manual work, like this, like what I have described. If you are that type of person, definitely you're placed in the service ministry. You don't feel fine when you see a dirty environment. You like, when if you were to come here and come and see the place, you know that a lot of us, if you come here in the busy place, you know, see, but we don't care. But there are some people, if they come and sit here, they will go back home and their conscience will not set them free. If you are such a person, then the service ministry is the place for you. Again, disorganized environment. There are some people, if they get to a place, a meeting or something, and the chairs and things are placed anyhow, they'll go and move one aside and go and sit down. But there are some people too, once they get there and they see that they are not organized, they will start arranging them. That is, the service ministry is your place. If you have also been thinking, it just occurs to you, I would like to join the service ministry. If that thought has been coming to you, it's a prompting that God is giving to you to join. And so you shouldn't resist. Probably you don't have any particular feeling or prompting, but you have just been thinking. You know that you don't belong to any of the other ministries in the group or any of the other ministries of service in the group. But you have also just been thinking of, what can I do to help the group? What can I also do to contribute to the group? If you have been having side thoughts, then I think you can start from the service ministry. Start from there. Praise the Lord. Now, if you are to join the service ministry, if you are a member or you want to become a member, you should possess certain qualities. And of course, there are certain qualities that cut across all ministries. It doesn't matter which the ministry is. But of course, with the way we have described the service ministry, the responsibilities, the work that they can do, it means that you must be somebody who is not lazy. If you are a lazy person, you cannot participate in the service ministry. If you feel that it is a call, it's something that you have to pray out of your life. Pray that laziness out of your life so that you can function in the service ministry. You have to be somebody who has the spirit of sacrifice. If you don't have the spirit of sacrifice, you cannot participate in the service ministry. Our meeting is supposed to always start at 2:45. But many of us will come at 3:15. About 30 minutes when the meeting is supposed to have started. But these people will come here probably at 2:15, 2:15 to come and start cleaning the place. So if it is so difficult for you to even come at 2:45, how more difficult will it be for you to come earlier than that, to come and clean this place for other people to come and sit down? You have to have the spirit of sacrifice. You have to be ready to cut off certain things from your life that you think are important, but that will prevent you from your functioning in the ministry. Of course, you have to be a prayerful person. You have to be a prayerful person. Now, you may think that the ministry, the service ministry doesn't require prayer to for you to function in there. You think that it is manual work. As I'm for manual, clean this place, do I need to pray before I can clean? Praise the Lord. Do I need to pray before I can clean? You need to pray. You need to pray. When we go to the verse 3 of the text I read, we are told that choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. The apostles were very specific on the type of people they wanted. That even the members of the service ministry are supposed to be people who are filled with what? The Holy Spirit and wisdom. And so if you are not somebody who is prayerful, how can you be filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom? I mean, but their duty was probably, I don't know what we get, by just sharing things.
That was their responsibility, just sharing things, thinking of sharing things. That one too, do you need the Holy Spirit to share? Praise the Lord. It's like one problem, you go to the market and go and buy oranges. One orange, you want to divide it between your two children and ask the Holy Spirit to come and help you to divide it. You know? But we may see it as simple as that, but it is not as simple as that. Your work, even though your main work is labor, is manual labor, your work does not involve only manual labor. Without the Holy Spirit, first, without the Holy Spirit, you will not be committed. You won't be committed. There are days when you will get up and you will feel lazy to come early. You will even get up sometime and you will feel lazy to come to the prayer meeting altogether. So as for coming early, you count it out. There are times when you feel tired. Then you will come here and you will just see cleaning this place. It will be some, look, it will be very, very simple work. But you feel, you find it so hard to do that, you will be surprised that you find it so hard to do the simple work. Because it is a work that you are doing for God. And I'm telling you that any work you are doing for God, which is not backed by the Holy Spirit, it is useless, it's empty. Do we remember the seven sons of Sceva? They went and saw the madman and said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. And the madman said, Jesus I know, Paul I have heard about, but you too, who are you? It says, seven strong men. He lashed them and beat them, but they, some of them ran with purple. They ran away naked. If it was Paul who was saying, in the name of Jesus, come out, that demon would have come out. But those people, they went there with words that didn't have power. The words had nothing. And so when they said come out, the demon didn't mind them. He dealt with them very well. And so whatever you are doing that is not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit is useless, it's empty. And this work is supposed to bring honor and glory to the Lord. So it has to be like that. Apart from your commitment, your prayer life will make sure that whatever you are doing is to God's glory. It is not to human glory. This work is something that should be done cheerfully. You shouldn't be in the service ministry and you are working and you are complaining. Even if other people are not helping you, do the one your ability can do. But you shouldn't be discouraged. It has to be done cheerfully with submission. And it's the Holy Spirit that can give you that kind of heart. So that you are doing it without complaining, you are doing it cheerfully with submission. Of course, as you are going about doing your ministry activities, you are going to encounter some of the ministry members who are lazy. For them, only once in 2 months will you see them joining here to clean the place, even though they say they are members of the ministry. When you will come to even clean the place here, what will happen is that they will be doing the work very lazily. And so how are you going to approach these kinds of people in the ministry? You need wisdom. You need the Holy Spirit, wisdom from the Holy Spirit, to be able to tolerate such people, to be able to encourage them. And encourage them to what? To rise up and participate in the ministry. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't do that. You can't do that. So you need that wisdom. As I said, the list that I gave is not an exhaustive list of all the things the ministry can do. So you need the Holy Spirit to keep on giving you new ideas. New ideas as to how to make the ministry more vibrant, more active, and more lively. You need that. Praise the Lord. So, with every other ministry, a communion with the Holy Spirit, a close encounter, and a close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is the main medicine that will make your work in the ministry and make the whole ministry active and vibrant. Now, if you are in the ministry, the service ministry, does it mean that you cannot belong to any other ministry? Or you cannot perform the responsibilities of any other ministry? No. Ideally, in the renewal, it's supposed to be one man to one ministry so that we can be very effective. But most people are not committed anyway. And sometimes God can call us to participate in more than one ministry. And so if you are in the service ministry, you can still play responsibilities in other ministries. You can still be a member of other ministries and still play your responsibility there too. And even you can take, you can participate, even ministry you are not a member of, you can participate in their responsibilities. For example, if we go, when we go to verse 8, we enter at verse 7, we proceed to verse 8. We are told that Stephen, a man richly blessed by God and full of power, performed great miracles and wonders among the people. So Stephen was sharing food. He was just maybe common, you say a common servant in the bar. But he was not just like that. Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit and with wisdom and with the power of God, even while he was serving the food, he was performing miracles. So will you say that, okay, I'm a member of the service ministry. Now there is somebody, there's a case, you have to pray for somebody. There's no healing and deliverance member near there. And you say, you go. One day, when you see healing and deliverance members, they'll pray for you. No. You are supposed to be somebody also filled with power like any other renewal member, like any other Christian. And so when such things come, you should be able to confidently lead people into freedom and lead people into salvation. Praise the Lord. So in a nutshell, this is what the service ministry is about. We want to ask the Lord to tie the heart of many people, many more people here, who will dedicate themselves to the service ministry. We have heard that the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Indeed, the laborers are few. We want the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers. Shall we begin to pray? Father Almighty, in the mighty name of Jesus, we are lifting into your hands this service ministry. We are asking you, Father, to stretch forth your hand, O Father. Lord, we ask you to increase the laborers in your vineyard, O Father. People who be ready to sacrifice their lives. People who be ready, O Lord, to dedicate their lives, O Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, to your service of difficulty, to your service of sacrifice, and bring glory unto your holy name. We thank and we bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I want us to lift all of us here. Those of us who are in ministry, all of them are servants. That the Lord will empower us, give us the zeal to be able to serve in those ministries. And we are also lifting those who are not in any ministry. That the Lord will guide them to enter a ministry of service. Shall we begin to pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we are lifting into your hands, O Lord, our whole hearts, our whole souls, our desire, Lord, our weaknesses, Lord, our inabilities. And we are asking you, Lord, to purge us. We ask you, Lord, to take control of us. We ask you to empower us with your zeal. We ask you to empower us with your desire. So that, Lord, we will be able to commit ourselves in whichever ministry of service we are in. So that, Lord, we will be able to glorify you through our work in the mighty name of Jesus. We will be ready to glorify you through our witnesses in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, all those who are not in any ministry, Father, we want to ask you to remove whatever is a blockade in their life, a barrier, a hindrance. And Lord, touch them to desire you, O Lord, to desire to witness unto you, O Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless you. Finally, I want us to ask the Lord to give us the grace of prayer and able to wait on him. That's where we get our revelation. That's where we get our strength. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we are lifting ourselves to you. Lord, we ask you to fill us with the grace of prayer. We ask you, Father, to fill us with the grace, Lord, of reflection. In the name of Jesus, fill us, O Father, with the grace of meditation, so that, Lord, we will be connected to you all the time. Father, we ask you to purge us of all the laziness in the mighty name of Jesus, of everything that's a barrier to our prayer life in the mighty name of Jesus, of all the useless things of this world that take our attention. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we surrender to you, O Lord. Anoint us with your power. Anoint us with your glory, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women,
and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.